Billy Joel once tore up my next guest's writing on stage. Lou Reed accused him of a fetish that Fifty Shades of Grey wouldn't even touch. If he found your music bloated or tiresome, Robert Christgau brandished the most feared and loathed pen in the chronicles of rock and roll. For everyone else, he's considered the dean of American rock critics. I spoke with Robert Christgau recently, and to get him a bit wound up, I asked about one of his arch enemies, heavy metal.
It's symphonic bombast without the intelligence and complexity.
It's one of those great Christgau lines right there.
It's so masculine. That music is so masculine in a really retrograde way. I don't like that at all.
Robert Christgau has a new memoir called Going Into the City, Portrait of a Critic as a Young Man. It takes the reader through the music that inspired his career, the women who improved him over the years, and a childhood spent in Queens, where he learned from the DJ who gave rock and roll its name, Alan Freed.
This is WINS New York, 1010 on your dial, the home of the big beat in popular music in America. Yours truly, Alan Freed, the old king of the rock and rollers. And here is Pee Wee Crayton with my idea about you.
One thing he would do all the time is that he would talk about originals. And in my little crowd, that became an important concept, as he intended. And what he meant by originals, literally, was the first version of the record recorded. But we knew what he really meant was the Negro version.
By the original African-American artists that then would get covered by white artists and get huge.
And that was a very, very good thing to have pointed out to you when you were... I mean, we felt it ourselves, but he made us think about it more.
Take your silvery light from the stars at night and a bit from the moonlight too.
Talk about the songs. Talk about what your musical diet as a young teenager.
There were several records that I was really into before Chuck Berry's Maybelline. But Chuck Berry's Maybelline hit the airwaves at about the time Alan Freed got to New York. And it was definitely a song I really loved and related to, with made-up words like motivating, a word I use to this day, and which ought to be in the dictionary if it isn't.
As I was motivating over the hill, I saw Maybelline in a coupe de ville. A Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing outrun my V8-4. A Cadillac doing about 95, bumper to bumper rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true?
As a young man, you loved Dostoevsky. You wanted to be a novelist. And early on in your professional career, you did an amazing kind of like Norman Mailer-esque piece of reporting.
I think Norman Mailer is giving me a little too much credit. It's more Hemingway-esque. I see it as being very Hemingway-esque.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering how you ended up becoming known as a rock critic.
Because I wasn't that good at it. That was what I wanted to do. I wanted to write reportage. I didn't have the eye. I didn't have the retentive memory for details that great reporters either have or claim they have and lie about, and I'm never sure which it is, but I wasn't going to lie about it. And I didn't have the nosiness of the great reporter. I didn't want to get into people's faces. Instead, I was really good at criticism, and I got better and better and better as far as I'm concerned.
You don't have much tolerance for nostalgia. I should say particularly 60s nostalgia. You say, I can't stand how grossly misremembered those years are. What bugs you the most?
Well, ultimately, the notion that it was some sort of utopia when it wasn't. The notion that it was unified when it most certainly was not. The notion that the music was so great when it was actually just really good and the music remained really good. You know, I think in retrospect, and it took me a long time to figure this out, the most important thing besides the Beatles was James Brown's Papa Got a Brand New Bag, which took the rhythmic presuppositions of rock and roll, which was to put the beat first, and then started articulating that beat with a complexity that people were then prepared for. Although it took white people about 10 years to catch on, and that includes me.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
And James Brown is actually the person who makes the most musical difference in the second half of the 20th century. All those hippies didn't notice.
You write fondly of your ex-girlfriend, the late Ellen Willis, herself a great rock critic, among other things. You talk about her as probably the smartest person you ever knew. Can you talk about how she shaped the writer that you became?
Well, not without talking about how my wife also shaped the writer that I became.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the case of Ellen, it was that we developed a whole theory of pop, that she radicalized me, that although I certainly was ready to be a feminist, I've always been pretty pro-woman in the way I've seen the world. She filled in a lot of blanks. In the case of Carola, my wife, Carola DeBell, she's the most aesthetically responsive person I've ever met. Her ideas about all kinds of art and the way she verbalizes it, the nature of her emotional response is all incredibly inspirational to me. I can't tell you how many records I've realized meant something to me because of some detail of her response to them. Well, I would say one of the things this book is about how many, many women have really changed the way I've thought about things. I think that men write memoirs and their wives don't appear in it, in them at all. And maybe that's because their wives want to be private or there's some good reason. But I think the result is a tremendous misrepresentation of how intellects actually develop, unless they really have strange marriages. because if you can live with a woman for 30 or 40 years, but her ideas don't affect you, well, why are you living with her? Don't tell me. and that certainly has not been my experience.
Robert Christgau, it's been really fun speaking with you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Robert Christgau's new memoir is called Going Into the City, Portrait of a Critic as a Young Man.